welcome to another edition of the Fifth and Inches podcast. I'm your host, Alex McNamee, and today I am joined by a very close relative of mine. It's my brother, Andy, joins us today, and we're here to talk about some NBA free agency and all the crazy stuff that's going on there. But first, an even crazier circumstance occurred for you Thursday night, Andy. You hit a hole-in-one.
That's right. Glad to be here today doing the podcast. Thursday night, got out for my first round of golf of the year and came up to the 18th hole, a par 3. I think it was about 160 yards and hit a nice shot up there. Could not see the hole from the tee box, but I knew it was right at the pin, so got in my car, drove up there, and got next to the green and didn't see a ball up there. So I'm thinking to myself, it's got to be in the hole. So I walked up real slowly, and sure enough, there it was sitting in the back of the cup.
You thought it had to be a... You knew it was a good shot. You knew it wasn't 30 yards past the green.
I knew it wasn't 30 yards past the green. I saw it land on the green, maybe 5 yards, 15 feet short of the pin or something. Figured it would release from there, and so I gave a quick look to the short rough in the back of the green just to see if it'd be there, and it wasn't, so I figured...
Process of elimination, you have to walk up to the cup. Process of elimination,
unless some jackass came up and stole the ball or something, but yeah. No, I don't think that would have happened. So yeah, my second career hole-in-one, was very excited. And hey, maybe it'll be a good year of golf here for me. Off to a good start, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's obviously probably the best start you can get off to. Well,
that's right.
You played full 18 or 9 holes?
Just played 9 holes, the back 9. Went out after work and was 1 over par to that point, so shot a little 1 under round at 34 on the back 9. So, had a pretty decent round, beside, you know, and then the hole-in-one topped it off. So,
what course did you hit it at?
Playing at Prairie Vista Golf Course.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm sure you've probably played there quite a few times before. You might have known this hole pretty well.
Yeah, we played actually state tournament out there my sophomore year of high school. And then I played out there quite a few other times, too. So, yeah, this is, this hole used to be a par 4. A lot of people thought it was the hardest par 4 in town, I think. It was a huge water on the right, and then very tight on the left. If you miss the fairway to the left, there's a big hill. It just rolls off and out of bounds. So you really have to be accurate off the tee, and then a lot of times you're having to lay up with an iron off the tee, leaving a longer shot into the green. And it's a tough green with water hugging the right side of it and the green sloping down to the right, too. So everything feeds towards the water. But so this hole's caused a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
And they just recently, in the past 2 years, converted it to a par 3 because too many people were hitting their drives left and hitting the houses over there. So the residents were getting pretty upset with that. So they changed it to a par 3 and... What can I say? I like it a lot better as such.
Now, it used to be a par 4. Was this your first time dealing with it as a par 3?
I've played it as a par 3 before. I played there a couple times last summer when it was a par 3.
Okay.
And I can't quite remember what kind of success I had, but when it was a par 4, I really struggled with it. And so I guess this is my way of getting a couple back.
And you're... First ever hole-in-one in your life. I can't remember to how far back that was. Tell us about that.
It was when I was 13 years old, I think, maybe 14. But I got that out at another course in town, Ironwood, using the same club, a 7-iron. And my mom was there to see that one, so that was cool. And so that I saw that one go in. It hit on the green and kind of rolled a little bit, curved to the left, and just disappeared. And it was a pretty neat feeling. So I wish I could have seen the second one go in, too. But
Well, it definitely seems like a weird, I mean, definitely varying emotions there. When the first one, you can see it go in, and the second one, you just have to hope it's in the cup.
First one, I... saw it go in, turned around, threw my club up in the air, and everybody was clapping. People were mowing their lawns out next to the hole at their houses, and they started clapping. And so it was pretty neat. And this one was just, you know, evening, 7 o'clock, not many people were on the course, and obviously couldn't see it go in. So I'm just walking up there, and once I saw it in the hole, you know, I kind of jumped up and then ran into the clubhouse to tell him. And
wow.
But it was definitely a much different feeling. A lot more excited on the first one, but I'm not complaining about this one either.
Right. So I guess Thursday night you were buying the drinks probably since you got the hole in one.
Yeah, I bought a couple drinks on Friday. I went out with a few of my friends.
Right.
So
I mean, you know, a lot of people don't even ever get hole-in-ones in their life. I had a friend comment on my Facebook account after I made it public to the world that you hit a hole-in-one Thursday that said, the only reason I play golf is because I haven't gotten a hole-in-one yet.
Yeah.
And he wanted that pretty bad. So you have two. What's that like?
Pretty good feeling. I don't know. I feel lucky. It's, like you say, it's something that people who play a lot more golf than I do even go a lifetime without hitting them. So, it's pretty incredible. I feel pretty fortunate. I got two hole-in-one plaques hanging there on my wall in my new house now for everybody to see. So I can tell the stories. It's really something to brag about. I mean, it's really rare that people get holes in one, and I've got two of them. It's a good feeling. But
building your trophy case, I guess.
Building the trophy wall.
You keep the two golf balls, right?
Oh, yeah. I've got the two golf balls. One of them is in a plaque for the first hole-in-one, and then the second plaque didn't have a spot for the ball, but I've got the ball up in my room.
Nice.
So now, I'll certainly hang on to that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even the ball I started the round with. I 17th hole, the hole before, I hit, it's a 300-yard par 4, so I was trying to drive it.
Yeah.
And I just hit it a little right, about 20 yards, but there's some real tall fescue grass over there, so I'm looking for my ball and don't find it, and I come across this other one, though. So I just finished the round with that, and I get a hole-in-one with the crap ball. But
that's funny. What? Whose ball was it? What brand?
Pinnacle.
Pinnacle.
It's a Pinnacle ball. It was not. I found two Pinnacles on that 17th hole. One had a State Farm logo. The one I hit didn't have the logo on it, but just a regular Pinnacle ball. I've never played Pinnacle. I've always played Titleist or Callaway. I've started getting into, so it's, you know, kind of neat.
So yeah, good thing you picked up the right ball.
Picked up
the
right
ball. You never know about superstitions.
Another thing looking back is the tee box is just the old par 4 fairway now, and so it's real hard ground. I hadn't realized that until I got up there, so I was trying to stick a tee in the ground, but even just a little stub of a tee, and I couldn't get it in there far enough to put the tee down to where it'd be comfortable to hit the ball. So I'm like, well, whatever, threw the tee aside and just hit the tee shot without a tee, which I wouldn't have done had the ground been softer. So all these things looking back are...
That's amazing.
Building up for a very strange hole-in-one occurrence.
See, you got some definite stories to tell.
And oh, yeah.
Everything I've heard from you about Thursday night, it's just kind of like, you know, getting a hole-in-one is, it's your lucky day. It's your one swing of a lifetime, or two for you, I suppose. Yeah. And, I mean, you said it yourself, even the best golfers in the world don't get holes-in-one.
Sure.
I could just go out there one day, and if it was my luckiest day of my life, I could get one.
That's true. I'm sure that's why so many people love playing golf, just recreationally.
Yeah.
Going out there occasionally because the thrill of possibly getting a hole-in-one, or even the thrill of getting a birdie for tons of people out there is just incredible. So it's really something that keeps you coming back to the golf course. Always that chance that you'll get a hole-in-one.
And you play recreationally now.
Yeah, play competitively in high school, and now I just have a much more laid-back approach, go out there and play when I feel like it, and it's served me well.
Yeah, you know, on every hole-in-one, granted, I haven't seen many even on TV before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch a whole lot of golf like you do, for, let's say. But I always wonder, you know, and you've kind of filled me in on this, but if there was something that, some little thing that happened during that round or on that hole, you know, like you couldn't get the tee in,
yeah,
whatever. Even like when you wake up, if you like stub your toe or something. I mean, if there's something you remember about that day that's just like, wait a second, maybe just today was destined to be the day.
I guess. It just gives you a little appreciation for the little things that happen. And you can analyze it as much as you want. You can look back through the day and just start, you know, thinking, oh, maybe the wind picked up another 2 miles an hour and my ball was in the air, you know. So it's just crazy. It's a complete fluke thing. You can never expect to get a hole in one. But
yeah, you don't go out there and call your shot. Even Babe Ruth does that.
Nope.
But yeah, I always thought that was just something real fascinating. Yeah. Now you have some good stories to tell.
Yeah, definitely.
So how many years is it then? If you were 13, that makes it 9 years.
I think it's been 9 years since a hole in one.
That's crazy. So
it's been a while. I forgot what it feels like, but maybe won't wait so long until the next one. But hey, I probably won't get one the rest of my life.
It could be 9 more years, or it could be
tomorrow. Could be 9 years. Could be never.
Now, if it's tomorrow, we're gonna have to bring you back on this podcast immediately.
We will have to do that. That'll be.
You
crazy,
might have to send some mail into ESPN and say, look, I just got two holes in ones in a matter of 3 days or so.
See if I can get out there nationally.
Yeah, I mean, you might not have any film of it, but...
Sure.
Hey, there you go.
I got the stories.
There you go.
I'm no liar.
And then, yeah, on your first hole-in-one, you know, in the paper, it said, you know, Michelle McNamee is a witness. I don't think there was a couple other people. Nothing in the paper about that this time.
Yeah, there was one witness, and it was a guy working in the clubhouse named Tim. I don't know his last name, but he was standing out there by the green working on something and saw it happen, saw me walking up to the hole and it was in. So he was technically my witness, but I wouldn't have cared if no one was there to see it. I still would have had the memory.
Yeah, it's all, I mean,
yep.
I believe it.
Yep.
Some of your friends might think it's a stupid story that you made up or something.
They might.
You never know, but... I don't know if I ever told you this, but the Kenny Mayne book I was reading, he had a golf chapter in that, and he talked about how everywhere he traveled as like a teenager, he would go golfing at some golf course, and the next day he would try and call in a hole-in-one and say, like, my friend so-and-so was my witness, and he just wanted to see if they'd put it in the paper. He said they put a couple in the paper, so he's like, so according to my accounts, I've hit like five, or I've put five holes in one in my lifetime or something like that.
What a joker.
It's funny.
Huh.
But yeah, that's quite a story. Pretty cool. I was excited to hear it when mom told me.
Sure.
Couldn't believe it, really. I mean, uh-huh. 2 years.
It's craziness.
You still got it, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
But so that's a cool story. Let's move on to the reason you're here, I guess. NBA free agency.
Stock free agency.
Now, I'm going to ask you how much you've been following it, but I suppose if you turn on ESPN at all during the day, you can't help but follow it because it's all they talk about.
Yeah, well, so the free agency period officially just started on the 1st, just a couple days ago here, and I've been working each day, so I haven't, you know, besides what I've... the few things I've read online, haven't followed too much of it, have been hearing, you know, about the various meetings people are having, which were to be expected, but there's certainly some interesting rumors swirling around about, you know, all the big names out there, and I think maybe a few things that we've expected to happen have kind of happened so far. Rudy Gay signed with Memphis, something like $16 million a year, 5 years. They kind of expected him to be back, and he was one of the kind of lesser, you know, second-tier names of this draft, or even third-tier, possibly, of this free agency, I should say.
Well, it is kind of like a draft. I mean,
it is
those
a little bit
rumors,
like
it's like smoke screens coming up everywhere, kind of, or if you want to choose to believe them.
Yeah, and this is just an incredible free agency year because it's like no other sport. The shifting of just these handful of players could completely change the face of the league. You could see a team like the Nets, the Knicks, the Bulls were pretty subpar last year, but
yeah.
Nets are the next two of the worst teams in the league last year. They could feasibly contend for a championship next year if they pick up, say, LeBron and Amare Stoudemire or something.
Yeah.
D-Wade hooking up with Amare Stoudemire. You just never know.
It's so. Yeah, it really is amazing, and it's what makes NBA free agency so good. It's like these top five free agents can just decide what the league's going to look like for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yep. And it'll be interesting to see if some of them pair up. And I don't know if we've gotten really a feeling about what's going to happen yet. Sounds like the Bulls and Dwayne Wade are, you know, liking each other a little bit. I'm not sure if, certainly LeBron's not getting lost in all of this, but there really hadn't been much say as far as how his meetings have gone. I know he's enjoyed the cities. I think Cleveland met with him maybe early this morning or late last night to make their final call for him staying there.
Right.
But gosh, I just couldn't imagine him going back to Cleveland and them. They're going to have to pick somebody else up to really contend. Yeah. It's been this year more than any year so far that I've really realized that LeBron can't win a championship by himself. You look at these great players that win a lot of championships, Jordan, Kobe. These are guys that tear your heart out by making shots, and they make all these big shots. And I just don't see that in LeBron.
Right.
He's not a good shooter, plain and simple. Now, he's young. He's just 25, I think, which is ridiculous to say. But,
right.
And so maybe he'll still develop a better shot, but I really don't see him winning a big string of championships without help from Amare Stoudemire and somebody. I think he's going to need a couple of good players around him.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but
now I think Cleveland made a good move in bringing in Byron Scott.
The Lakers assistant.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he was one of the best out there that's available. But, you know, the thing, I watched Scott's, you know, like, press interview when they announced that they were hiring him, and he was talking about getting LeBron back, and he was talking about how the reason LeBron should come back is because this team's a championship contender, and I thought to myself, well, it's not. Without LeBron, it's a 10-win team. It's the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, they don't have, the thing is that LeBron needs to realize, I think, is you could go back to Cleveland and just, I mean, if he wins a championship, he's a folk legend in Cleveland, basically.
If he wins a championship, he'll just win one, though, I think.
Right.
And he's not going to have this great legacy.
Right.
If, unless he wins more than Jordan.
And, I mean, when you go, if you go back to Cleveland, you have to realize, if you look at the Cavs, they don't have any assets to bring anything in. They don't have any players to trade. They didn't have any draft picks this year.
They've got nothing.
Yeah.
And they've never really made a strong effort. Maybe it's because they've never had any assets, but it just doesn't seem like they've ever made a strong effort to put star players around LeBron. They've tried Shaq during his fizzled out years, Antoine Jameson during his, you know, after his prime, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But what else have they done? I mean, and I just don't see him doing that. And the thing about the coaching change is LeBron always liked Mike Brown.
Yeah, that.
And Mike Brown led him to the best record in the league 2 years in a row.
I'm
not sure why
firing.
They fired him.
I don't know.
But, in any event, they did, and that's that. And they're moving forward with Byron Scott, who may be a good coach, but I just don't see where Cleveland has room for improvement. I think LeBron's got to go elsewhere, and I think it's, I've said all along, I think the Nets would be a neat spot for LeBron to go. Got this new Russian owner in there with you know, everybody's talked about his billions of dollars. Right. And he just seems like a crazy guy who, you know, he let Dateline go to a club with him one night just to see all the women he's hooking up with. I think he's just a crazy guy that's going to spend his money to win, and he's going to get some good star players around there. Right. But it'll be interesting to see how it shakes up.
And the Nets also hired Avery Johnson, which I liked
He's a good coach.
I liked that pickup a lot, and I thought that's kind of a player's coach type that LeBron would like, or somebody like LeBron would like.
Yeah, they've said that Avery Johnson's the type of guy that'll get the best out of his players. So when I talk about LeBron not having a good shot right now, from what I hear, people say that Avery Johnson's the type of coach that'll make that shot better and get that shot to the best it can be. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting. And the Nets have far and away a much better base than Cleveland does.
Right.
If we're comparing here, Brooke Lopez is looking to be a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Derek Favors, one of the top draft picks.
They have Devin Harris,
who I'm forgetting about here.
Yeah.
A strong point guard who can score 40 points in the night if you need to. With LeBron there, you won't ever need to, but obviously the guy's got talent. LeBron being there takes a lot of a defensive attention off of Harris. Maybe allows him to become a very strong player.
Right.
And so, I don't know. And the other reason I don't, you know, a lot of people talk about LeBron to the Bulls. I don't like that because Derrick Rose needs the ball in his hands. That's clear. He's another guy who doesn't shoot well.
Right.
He's explosive and quick. He's the same type of player LeBron is. A good passer, explosive, quick, bad shot.
Right.
So how are they going to mesh there if they both play the same style? They're both going to want the ball. I mean, you need somebody to dish to that's going to knock down those shots.
Right. And
so,
you know, one more thing on Cleveland. I get the feeling that, you know, if the owner was smart or the GM was smart in Cleveland, and, you know, if LeBron didn't have these Akron roots and this was his hometown, you can make that team a lot better and not just a 10-win team if you... Like, you could trade LeBron, you could get a hell of a package for him, and you could get some players back. You could get some high picks back, probably, too.
Yep.
And then, moving on to the Bulls, everybody says, well, LeBron's going to go there because if he signs there, then they're going to be an immediate championship contender with Rose and Joakim Noah and LeBron and maybe another free agent even, but
no doubt they've got good players there.
Right,
but
my argument to that is kind of like, well, any of these teams that LeBron can sign with can probably sign two max free agents because that's the way they wanted to do it. Thus, anybody could become a championship contender when they sign him.
It all revolves around where LeBron goes. I mean, Miami's the team right now with the most cap space. New York's got a lot of cap space. I mean, these are teams that could sign two stars around LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could even, it's possible Miami could have Dwayne Wade and LeBron James playing for him next year.
Right.
Which would just be incredible. But the other factor here that is just, it's kind of recent, it's been under the table sort of, but recently starting to heat up is Carmelo Anthony's going to be coming. His contract's going to be up next year with Denver.
Heard this.
They're talking. He will obviously be the star of that free agency class if he's there. They're talking, well, maybe Denver's thinking right now about trading him and getting some big value in return because they don't just want to lose him for nothing next year.
Right.
Which is what Cleveland's facing this year with LeBron. I mean, they may just lose him for nothing.
Yep.
And then they're going to have Joe Schmo out there playing for him,
but they couldn't afford to trade LeBron though. That would have been
heads
cut off there.
Sure, with the hometown ties. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, they're talking, and some people are saying that the Bulls should wait and focus on getting Carmelo in there.
Mm-hmm.
And now that makes a little more sense to me because Carmelo doesn't need the ball in his hands. He is an excellent shooter. one of the best offensive players in the league up there with Kobe, Kevin Durant, probably are the three best offensive players with all the tools.
Right.
And now you start talking about a Chicago team that's got Derrick Rose still running the show. Carmelo is there. You got Deng. You got, you know, the good base is still there. Yeah, Joakim Noah.
It would be
that's
Rose
a strong
on,
team out there.
Yeah, it would be, I mean, Rose on top at point. Melo's the winger, and Noah's in the middle.
And the Bulls have enough cap space to also go out there and sign an Amare Stoudemire and still bring in Carmelo.
Which I think would be a good fit.
You throw Amare into a lineup with Melo and Rose.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good fit for Amare, because I think Derrick Rose is kind of the similar passing type pick and roll guy that Steve Nash is in Phoenix.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I like Steve Nash a lot better than Rose. I think he's a better player, but Rose can certainly develop into that.
Yeah, I think so. He just need to improve the shot. Steve Nash has got that just incredible killer instinct where he'll hit a three right in your face right every time he needs to. But a lot of people, like Amare Stoudemire, gets lost in all this sometimes. I've always thought he's an incredible player. I mean, he can lead a team, really. Put some good players around him, and that's quite a guy to have there on your front line. Freakish athlete.
Right.
So, we'll see. I mean, there's just so many cards in this. Joe Johnson's out there. Yep. Sounds like Atlanta's offered him the max for 6 years, which is blowing away on any offer that another team's going to be able to make. But he hasn't said he wants to take that offer yet.
Yeah, he might not want to go back to Atlanta.
Obviously, Joe Johnson is interested here in teaming up with some of these super megastars like himself and trying to win some championships. Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to here. I mean, some of these guys are about money, but some, especially this year, they realize that they can team up with some other freaks like themselves and really possibly reel off some championships. So.
And I read a Yahoo Sports article today about Chicago after they've had these good relations with Wade now. They're starting to pitch to both of them the opportunity to maybe get LeBron and D-Wade both in Chicago, which, I mean, granted, the writer, I know the writer, I'm not going to say his name, but he's thrown some rumors out there in the past that are complete BS and just smoke screens, but if you think about that, that's a situation similar to Miami, who all this talk is about getting LeBron, D-Wade, and like Chris Bosh or somebody.
Right. Yeah, I mean, those are probably the only two teams that can really do it. Because New York's got some lingering contracts there. Eddie Curry, they're paying him over $11 million a year.
Yeah.
Chicago or Miami could bring those two guys and a third guy in. I mean, it's interesting. And then, you know, there's always the Knicks, too, who've got just a huge say in this. You never know what New York might do.
Yeah, you don't.
And we talk about Eddie Curry. Well, that's somebody they can dump next year. Now, all of a sudden, they've got $11 million more.
Right.
Are they going to sign Carmelo Anthony? I mean, certainly 11 wouldn't be enough to do it, but 15, 16?
I think it's been interesting that the Knicks have kind of been, I think, the quietest team in all of this, it seemed like.
They're kind of going under the table. They're not showing their cards. And it kind of makes sense because they just have so many options they can go with. They've got the coach there who's coached Amare Stoudemire before. Obviously, they're going to work well together because they did in Phoenix. So you get Amare, I mean, bring in LeBron James. There's some good potential there with New York. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's see.
And then I think, there is, like you said, a second tier of free agents out there.
Sure.
I mean, like Dirk Nowitzki, who we all think is going back to Dallas.
All signs point towards going back to the Mavericks.
And then I think Paul Pierce is the same thing, but a couple guys.
Ray Allen out there.
I think Ray Allen is going to sit back and wait to see what happens, and then he'll go to a team where he can just be a piece.
Where he can just be a piece like he's been in Boston. Yeah. I mean, heck, if Ray Allen could find a team that's has a better version of Kevin Garnett, has a better version of Paul Pierce, certainly there's some out there. Certainly some of these teams can put those pieces together. Mm-hmm. If Ray Allen can have a chance to go do that, be in the playoffs, he's still got the shot. I mean, he's off and on in the playoffs this year, but well, he'd be a nice fit for anybody. Yeah. Anybody looking to win a championship.
He's definitely one of those veterans that's going to
veteran, he's a winner.
Help you get up there. Exactly.
Best shooter in the history of the game. I mean, what more can you say?
Yeah.
So.
And so there's definitely, I mean, more than the first tier, there's definite possibilities.
There's more players out there, that's for sure. I mean, you've seen some smaller names lately. You know, Steve Blake gets signed. Of course, we talked about Rudy Gay.
Mm-hmm. Channing Frye was signed.
John Salmons was signed.
Salmons to the Bucks.
Carlos Boozer went to the Bucks.
Yeah.
And he was one of those second tier guys. He's a strong player in Utah.
Yeah.
Averaging 20 and 10 all the time.
The argument about him, I think, was a lot of people said you can't win a championship with him as your big guy in the middle because he's like 6'9 or something like that.
Maybe true. He's not tall. He's a good rebounder, but he's not great. I mean, you've seen him in series against the Lakers, who are definitely have the longest front line in the league.
Yep.
And he struggled. Didn't have a good series. So, yeah, certainly he can't be a centerpiece. But the Carlos Boozer's not bad to have for a team like the Bucks.
Yeah, definitely. Especially for the Bucks. And more on Dirk Nowitzki. I feel like he's kind of a diamond in a rough. Like, I feel like teams should be going, or in a different year, they would be going after him a lot harder because he's shown in his career that he can carry the Mavericks to a championship.
Dirk is, yeah, carry them to the championship. Haven't been able to win
win it.
And so, yeah, he would be an incredible piece. He could win a championship as long as he's not the number one on the team. If he were number two, he'd be the best number two in the league. I mean, he's incredible. The guy is 7 foot tall. He can shoot fadeaway three-pointers. I mean, nobody's going to block his shot. He's a good rebounder. He runs well. Hasn't shown to be too injury-prone like you see with some of these lanky big men.
Mm-hmm.
He would be an amazing fit, but I just don't see him leaving his boy Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks down there all alone. So. Yeah, like you say, though, I would think if I were an owner, I'd be trying to pursue him more, but maybe there's something more there we don't know. Maybe Mark Cuban's holding people at gunpoint, saying, don't talk to my prized possession.
Yeah, maybe. But then the Cavs should be doing that, too, and they're not.
That's true. Maybe they don't have a crazy owner like Mark.
And the Mavs are the kind of the team that's unheralded right now in the LeBron race because I think they've been public a couple of times that they're going to make a case for LeBron to come back and play with Dirk since they are pretty sure he's coming back.
Yeah, that'd be a nice fit, I think. Those two together could really make some noise. But, it'll be interesting because Dallas, in their current state, is never going to win a championship.
Yeah.
They just aren't. And so Dirk's getting older. If they're going to make a move, they need to do it now. But if they're just going to settle for bringing only Dirk back and keeping the rest of the guys, well, they're basically saying, you know, we're okay with not winning a championship, I guess. Because they won't beat the Lakers in the series, and they won't beat these great teams in the East. It's just...
Yeah. Now, we've talked about every suitor for potentially for LeBron James, except the Clippers, who...
They've
kind of been
Clippers.
Just thrown under the rug in this free agency. We aren't hearing anything from them.
I had a couple of friends who were talking the other day saying they were wishing they've been wishing the whole time that the Clippers would just get LeBron, Amare, and Chris Bosh or something, or LeBron and D-Wade, and just take over L.A., you know.
That would be nice.
Go to a freaking team franchise that has always been the league's doormat. and just take over. And that'd be awesome, but that's real wishful thinking. Yeah. Clippers, just haven't heard much noise from them now that free agency has started. But, gosh, I think they could I'd have some money to bring some people in.
You'd think so. And they don't have much, I think, that they've spent on besides Baron Davis or something.
Sure. And his contract's coming due, too. Yes. Coming due soon. So that'll be some money that gets dumped. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. July 8th, they'll be able to start signing. And we'll know before then what the deals are going to be, I think. LeBron has said he wants to know, but he wants to have his mind made up by July 5th, because that's when he leaves to go run his basketball camp for the summer.
Right.
Wants to have his mind made up. So that puts us at Monday. Maybe Monday news comes out saying LeBron's going to, you know, such and such has offered LeBron this deal, and he sounds like he's going to take it. D-Wade the same way with whoever. Mm-hmm. So it'll be quite interesting to see how it shakes up. I've been real interested going along because, gosh, the league could just change so much, and I'm waiting for somebody to put a team together that can beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
I do not like seeing the Lakers win all these years, and being a Denver Nuggets fan, I come to the realization that we aren't going to beat LA in a series, a 7-game series. It just won't happen. Came close 2 years ago when they beat us in 6, but it was in 6. I mean, we didn't even go 7. So I'd like to see somebody get out there and have a team that could beat the Lakers.
Well, then you can't be too pumped about the whole Carmelo thing.
Well, I don't even want to get into that from a Denver fan perspective, because I don't know what that would mean for us. Denver wants to keep Carmelo for his entire career.
Yeah.
Carmelo is an incredible player. He might have been the MVP of the league this year had he not been hurt for 15 games or so. I mean, he was having that good of a year. And so it'd be quite a shock if he were to leave Denver, but we'd certainly get something excellent in return, so I don't know what that'd be. So, we'll see.
A couple things I've seen on Twitter from following a couple of the NBA insiders.
Mm-hmm.
After the LeBron and the Nets meeting, the Nets GM, or no, it was the new guy, Prokhorov or whatever.
Kale? Yeah, Prokhorov or
right?
Something?
He came out and said after the meeting that we're front runners, and said that LeBron was smiling the whole time. So that's one thing. Also, I've seen that D-Wade really liked what the New York Knicks presented him, as well as Chicago. And I've also seen that Chris Bosh likes Pat Riley in Miami for being a winner. And so those are a couple things I've heard that I take into the equation with where I think these guys are going to go. Where do you think some of these guys will end up?
Well,
if
I had to make picks, I'm putting Amare Stoudemire and Dwayne Wade in New York next year.
Oh, really?
They're getting signed by New York. And there'll be a strong team up there.
Yeah.
Maybe Chicago. I don't know. It'd be hard to say Chicago's not going to get any of these guys. But
yeah.
I think LeBron will go to the Nets. Nets or the Bulls, I think. And for some reason, I just don't buy all this talk about Cleveland still being the front runner. I know he's got a loyalty, but...
Now, granted, that's a lot of people think he's just going to go back to Cleveland.
A lot of people think that. I don't know.
Not deal with any
That's one of those wait-and-see things, but I just don't see it. If he wants to win, he must be able to realize that it won't be in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And that's that.
I don't see Dwayne Wade leaving Miami, to be honest.
You think he's staying? So you think a Chris Bosh joins him down there, then?
I think Chris Bosh probably joins him. I think in a dream world, LeBron also goes down there, and they just... win
and they just romp through the
titles.
East,
yeah,
because those guys are all young.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they might have all been in the same class. I know two of them were, obviously, Dwayne and LeBron. Mm-hmm. Bosh was right around the same time, but...
Probably was, yeah.
That'd be quite something if that were to happen. And so, I don't know. I think Amare to New York, though. I like that. Mm-hmm. Dirk will go to Dallas. Ray Allen's a kind of wait-and-see guy.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm sticking with LeBron to New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where to put LeBron, because I really badly want to put him in Miami, just because I think it'd be the craziest thing to...
They certainly could be.
See that team if that happened. I think New Jersey's an option. I can't see him going to Chicago. I've felt that way for a few weeks now.
I just don't think so either. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think New Jersey. I think, you know, we don't hear anything about New York, but I think that's always an option. Because when the talk started about how LeBron was going to test free agency, like it started like a year and a half ago or something. The Knicks were the first team that was brought up because, you know, it's a huge city, main
New York,
stage.
They got endless pockets.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think the one thing I want to be sure about is I can't see Wade leaving Miami. Mm-hmm. I think I just hear too much that he loves it there, so.
Yeah. Well, you might be right. I mean, Dwayne Wade's a loyal guy. He's won a championship in Miami.
Yeah.
Could win more, so. We'll see. It'll be a couple days here, and we'll certainly know more.
It's about to get real interesting.
We'll see how our picks go from there.
All right, exactly.
It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been good. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me. We will do this again sometime.
All right. Stay tuned for more podcasts. This is 5th and Inches Weekly.